In Shasta County, tens of thousands of residents rely on the Partnership Health Plan of California to cover the cost of their health care needs. Behind the plan is a shared partnership between the state and federal government. But what happens to the plan and its coverage if the federal government's portion is cut? This is the question healthcare leaders and policymakers in California are grappling with as the Trump administration threatens to cut Medicaid, which partners with California to cover the cost of the Partnership Health Plan for qualified residents. Joining me to shed more light on this issue is Brandon Thornock, CEO of Shasta Community Health Center. Welcome, Brandon.
Great. It's good to be here with you. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Let's start with your background and the work you do.
Yeah, you know, I've been the CEO here at Shasta Community Health Center here in Shasta County for a little over the last year. I've been at Shasta Community Health Center for about 12 years now. Before the CEO, I was the Chief Operations Officer, and before that, I was the Director of Clinical Operations. So I've been around for a minute.
Okay, so tell me about the Shasta Community Health Center. What does it do?
Yeah. Shasta Community Health Center, we provide health care for some of the most vulnerable and marginalized and low-income folks in our community. We are what is called a federally qualified health center. Some folks may be familiar with that term. But our purpose is to serve those who, if they didn't have access to care through us, they'd be frequenting the emergency departments, you'd see increased hospitalizations. There's a pretty significant investment in the community health centers to help some of these patients just not overutilize the system and cost the overall system and all the taxpayers a significant amount of money. And so what we do is very, very important, not only from a financial perspective, but really from the perspective of meeting people where they're at and providing them the care that they need so that they can thrive and live long and successful and fulfilling lives.
So give me a sense of the range of healthcare.
You know, at Shasta Community Health Center, we provide a myriad of services. We provide a lot of primary care services. We've branched out into specialty care services. We connect patients to specialty care through contractual arrangements with some of the local specialists. But since we're in a relatively rural area, we've also connected a lot of patients with this specialty level of care through telemedicine services. We provide a lot of case management to try and help meet people's needs and address their all the different socioeconomic challenges that they may be needing to address on a daily basis. And so it's a very broad swath of care that we provide.
So does it include preventative and nutrition?
Absolutely. You know, we've found as a community health center that if we can try and connect people to good food, sometimes we're trying to connect them to housing. You know, think of folks who are homeless. You know, we are the primary provider, not the only, but the primary provider of health care for the homeless in our community. You know, those folks can be, it can be very costly to them personally as well as their, you know, the system if you don't manage them and meeting them where they're at and connect them to all these different resources that they need. If you can take more of a preventive approach, then we can keep them out of the hospitals and keep them healthy. And we do that for our low-income folks. We address a lot of other things like substance use addiction. You know, that's an area where we have a particular love. We serve the HIV population in our community. There's a lot of unique needs there, and so we try and address those things to really keep our community healthy.
What about maternal and pediatric?
Yeah, so you know, maybe you're referencing our recent new addition to our service line and our buildings here. We have a new maternity center where we focus on serving the high-risk maternity folks in our community. And that's been a wonderful, wonderful addition to our service line and certainly a large need in our community. We are also by far the largest provider of pediatric services in our community. In fact, we serve by far, the vast majority of what's called the California Children's Services. kiddos. CCS is what a lot of folks will refer to that program as. And you're talking about those kids in our community who experience pretty significant, either through a traumatic event or through no fault of their own, pretty significant mental and physical disabilities. We provide that care for those folks.
And you mentioned a new building. How many buildings do you have spread out over what areas?
Yeah, you know, we have 5 buildings, and, you know, we have a few here in Redding, and then we have another building up in Shasta Lake City. We have another building down in Anderson, and we have some other programs. You know, we have a small clinic there in the Good News Rescue Mission. We have an outreach van that provides care for the homeless in our community, so they go to strategic locations to provide care there. We have an outreach team that's actually going on the streets and trying to connect with folks. And so, you know, our primary service area is Shasta County. But as you know, in our rural community and frontier community, there's not a lot of resources out there. So we serve a lot of folks in the surrounding areas as well who will travel, or we will connect them to care through telemedicine or televideo services.
What's the population of Shasta County?
Shasta County, there's 180,000 individuals in this county.
And what percentage of those residents qualify for the Partnership Health Plan?
So as of today, there's around 66,000 individuals who are on Medi-Cal. And so if you do the math, that's high 30% range, which is a very, very significant portion of the population.
So tell me, you mentioned Medi-Cal. What does that mean?
So I appreciate you bringing this up, because a lot of people don't connect the dots here. So Medi-Cal is the branding that California has given to the Medicaid program. And up here in Shasta County and the surrounding counties, the Medi-Cal program is managed by Partnership Health Plan of California. There's only one managed care organization that manages Medi-Cal. And so at our health center, oftentimes we hear our patients, when they present, they say, oh, I have my insurance, it's partnership, here's my insurance. But they're not connecting the dots. And I think this is really, really important today. If you have Partnership Health Plan of California, you are a part of the Medi-Cal program, which is a part of Medicaid, which is what the federal government is talking about cutting. And so when they're talking about cutting Medicaid, they're talking about cutting your health care. And so I think it's really important that we get the word out there and help people be aware of this, so that they can, if they have concerns about that, they can say something to some of our elected officials.
My guest is Brandon Thornock, CEO of Shasta Community Health Center. So, Brandon, what's the range of healthcare costs that the partnership plan covers currently?
So, if you look at the range of costs, I mean, here's a good way to look at it. You know, as a community health center, I mentioned a little bit earlier in the interview that we cover a broad swath of services, and that is essential. When you're working with a population that, for example, doesn't have a vehicle or doesn't have gas or is living in a household where they're constantly exposed to substance use, or maybe they don't even have housing, or, you know, there's a myriad of different issues that they could be dealing with in their life. And so the Medicaid or Medi-Cal program, AKA Partnership Health Plan, has grown in a way to meet patients where they're at. So when you ask about the scope of costs and services, Partnership Health Plan helps organizations like ours fund the case managers and fund different things to not only just provide the primary care and specialty care, but to get them to those appointments, to try and connect them to food and those kinds of things. And I want to make a really quick point here, because I think it's important. It does cost a lot to provide the services to this population. However, let me make something very, very clear. Federally qualified health centers, which is what we are, across the entire nation, we served last year about 32.5 million citizens and even non-citizens in the United States. That's roughly 1 in 10 across the entire United States. Okay. Now, we cost the overall healthcare system as a conglomerate around 1% of its total cost. So we serve 10% of the entire population, and we cost roughly 1%. And that's not even including the tens of millions of dollars that we save the overall system when you look at the way we meet people where they're at, very, very costly situations, and keep them out of the more costly parts of our system. And so it does cost a little bit more to provide care for our population, but we save the taxpayers and the hospitals and other parts of the entire system tens of millions of dollars.
So you're making the argument that your services, your wraparound health services for the most vulnerable populations in our society is efficient and effective.
You got it. And we can prove it day in and day out.
So tell me, how does the billing process work for healthcare organizations like yours?
So basically, we still have a bit of a model where we get reimbursed for each visit that we provide. But the way our reimbursement rate is calculated is we work through the Department of Healthcare Services here in the state of California, and they do an assessment of our costs. And so for every visit, we get reimbursed the same amount, but they take a look at our costs and they just distribute it over the total number of expected visits. And then for some of the additional services that I mentioned, case management, that kind of a thing, those are at lower rates, you know, certainly not going to be included in those the other visit rates, but it effectively just covers our costs so that we can build those programs and maintain those programs.
Okay, so what's the current status of Medicaid, and what are you worried about?
Well, Medicaid's at risk. You know, I think you may have mentioned this in your program before, but, you know, you may recall that the House of Representatives was tasked with essentially finding about $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years that they want to cut in order to extend some of these tax cuts. And the trick is that the Energy and Commerce Committee was expected to find about $880 billion over the next 10 years. The Energy and Commerce Committee is over, well, certainly Medicaid, Medicare. They're over all sorts of other services like public health, food and drug, public safety, consumer protection, and a bunch of other things. Well, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office did an assessment and found that if the Energy and Commerce Committee doesn't touch Medicare, because President Trump has said he doesn't want them to touch Medicare, and they don't touch Medicaid, and they only look at those other areas that they're over, they can only find $135 billion of spending that is even available to cut. And it doesn't take a math genius to do that math. You know, 135 does not equal 880. And so there, what is left is about $745 billion that would have to be cut from the Medicaid program if Medicare is not to be touched. Well, those conversations are happening now. The Energy and Commerce Committee has already started coming up with some different ideas on how they could reduce expenses in the area of Medicaid. But our argument is you are not going to find $745 billion of fraud, waste, and abuse, which is the banner that a lot of these decisions are being made under, in that system. It's just not there. And so that's the concerning part.
So, Brandon, I have about 60 seconds left. What happens if the federal government does cut Medicaid?
If they cut Medicaid, then the state of California then has to make decisions on what programs they maintain, what portions of the population still continue to get health care and which ones don't. They may have to make decisions on other areas of their budget that they may have to cut, think education, think transportation, in order to sustain portions of the health system. It puts the state in an extremely difficult position, which then trickles down to all the rest of us.
Oh, that's horrible. So when the wealthy cut funding, then the most vulnerable lose out on services.
You got it.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you for helping us understand this issue better, Brandon.
Thank you. Appreciate your help.